Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint XP Podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP Radio Show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. And, you know, when we start this show, we like to do something specific. We like to read iTunes reviews, Apple Podcast reviews, whatever you want to call them. We've got one to read today, but before we get to that, I do want to tell you about something big that's coming to Checkpoint XP.
Huge. Very, very big things happening.
That's right.
So the best thing.
So it's not only happening here.
Nope.
It's also happening at radio.com.
That's big. That's like ginormous.
That's right.
Do you know how big it is to have noun.com?
That's a big deal.
Not proper noun.
Yeah.
Just noun.
Any noun counts?
No, but just any.
I'm pretty sure that someone went through with a dictionary and took all of the nouns.
I mean, seriously. Car.com.
Yeah.
Lights.com.
It's a big deal.
Someone got the plurals of each noun too.
Yes.
But anyway, something big is coming, not just to the channel, but to the website as well.
And to your life.
That's right. Norris has been working very hard on this, and I want you guys all to really get excited about it, because it's something worth getting excited for. And I think that's all we can say about it. I don't think we can say much more.
Well,
we're allowed to say when you're going to get more.
That's right.
We can say, guys, that on Thursday.
The debut.
September 12th.
Do it.
Thursday, September 12th.
Put it on your calendar.
Be on this channel.
10 p.m. Eastern. That's right.
Be on this channel.
Right here at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We're also, you know, if you can't join us live, we've got you covered as well over at checkpointxp.com. But something big is coming. Let's talk Apple
phrasing.
Podcast review.
Hey, phrasing.
By the way, I do want to point out we've got Joe on drops today. Robbie's on cameras. For those of you who listen on the podcast, you're like, cameras? Have you not seen the new studio? You should check it out. We've got a whole YouTube page. We've got a Twitch channel. You can check it out there. Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
That's right.
And Checkpoint XP on YouTube.
That's right.
So our review, our Apple Podcast review, comes to us today from Doza52.
Okay.
Doza.
D-O-Z-A.
D-O-Z-A. Doza52. And it says, remember.
Remember
who you are.
So Doza52 says, listen, you guys are great. You already know that.
Aww.
The last episode, you talked about how Shawn Michaels and how he sold moves, and sometimes he was so over the top. Do you remember when him and Triple H was in a tag match and Triple H got hit and was knocked out on his feet? For over about 2 minutes, he was standing there and Shawn Michaels tried to wake him up. Finally, Triple H woke up, looked at Shawn Michaels, nodded at him, and started to pin his opponent, and then fell flat on his face.
I do remember
the Triple of H.
Gross, Robbie. It was the corniest, most meathead cell I've ever seen in my life. Just hope you remember. A long live the Attitude Era.
I agree, but I'll say this. I don't think any sell is stupider than having to sell the leg drop. The Hogan leg drop. The Hogan leg drop to me is the dumbest sell.
You've seen the match where Shawn Michaels oversells literally everything that Hulk Hogan.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Hulk Hogan does a knife edge chop on his
and
chest.
And he goes, he's like flipping all over the place.
No, I've seen it.
The greatest wrestling match maybe in history.
No, that's great.
And that's one where even Jimmy Cornette is like, that was hilarious.
Yeah absolutely.
That's just a giant middle finger.
I think it's only because he hates Hogan more than he hates Michaels.
And boy, yeah. does he hate both of them.
No, but
he does not like either of them.
No, but that's
not.
The point, though, is that it's just a giant middle finger to everything Hogan
it
represents.
Is.
Yeah, because Hogan said, I'm not gonna return the favor on this one. Yeah. And Michael said, fine.
All right. Well, because, yeah,
I'll sell for you.
It was supposed to be a back and forth.
Sure,
and then he goes, yeah, I'm not doing that, brother.
Yeah, pretty much. And Shawn said, works for me.
And,
I assume that's what led to the most over the top sell I've ever seen in my entire life.
Did you see on Raw last weekend, both Undertaker is making a return, he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. Let that man retire. Let him retire.
He actually is the dead man now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's getting there. Like,
no, he's there.
My brother, I remember my brother saying to me a couple of years ago, it's like, wow, it's official. Anyone can now summon the dead man for WrestleMania, provided they're willing to do the job.
Yeah.
That's what it is. If you're willing to lose to him at WrestleMania,
dude,
you can fight him at WrestleMania.
Zod TV in our chat says he's going to Raw on Monday. That's awesome.
That's, you know what?
Raw is so much the better show right now.
Well, as much crap as we give WWE, it's always good to be there in person.
It is so much
fun to be there.
It really is. So listen, in honor of Doza 52's review today, we're going to talk some wrestling.
I need to just on the subject of reviews real quick, because I keep getting this dude in my late night gaming stream. Cosmic Kev, I brought up your review to the crew. Apparently, we've already done it. So
We read it.
Go back and find it. We're not going to tell you where, because we don't know off the top of our heads.
We read it. Well, it was, he left a, here's the thing, Cosmic Kev. You left a review on The Daily Show, which is an entirely different podcast.
So you didn't go to the proper place.
That's right.
That's what it was.
Now, don't get me wrong. We appreciate you leaving a review there too.
Absolutely.
But if you want your review read on this show, you need to review this show.
And
we have read his Daily Show review, because we do that on our weekend updates now sometimes, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Right.
So there, Cosmic Kev, it's done with. I don't want to see you bringing this up in the chat again. Especially because you don't stick around to actually participate in the chat and watch the stream.
Yeah, he was the guy who referenced Street Fighter V BB tag in MK11.
There you go.
Left his PSN tag on the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to run some sets with Norris.
All right, come see these hands, bro.
That's what he said as well. So, all right, now that we've gone and rehashed Cosmic Kev's review, Doza, again, we thank you for the review. So coming up today on the Checkpoint XP podcast, we're going to talk...
Naked men wrestle.
Not naked.
I mean, they're pretty close, though.
That's a
nearly naked men.
Fine, nearly naked men.
We're going to talk...
some nearly naked women, too.
We're going to talk professional wrestling. Wow. We're going to talk professional wrestling. That's coming up next here on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com. You're listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. So we're going to talk about professional wrestling today, and there's actually a lot going on in the pro wrestling world. And I kind of wanted to start with this story about Ric Flair. Ric Flair recently trademarked The Man, which, as anyone who is a fan of WWE knows, that is Becky Lynch's current gimmick.
Yeah, sure, it is.
I don't know that you're allowed to trademark The Man.
That's what I'm saying. Is this like one of those like...
Well, he did.
Oh, it went through?
It
cleared?
It went through.
Haven't hippies been saying The Man since like the 50s and 60s?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, here's
but
the
I
thing.
Don't. I think he trademarked it as a gimmick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I didn't know you could do.
Was he ever The Man in his career?
Yeah. I mean,
Ric Flair.
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
That was his sort of thing.
Because he was in the WWE, would they not technically already have that?
It was never, hang on, it was never an official gimmick. Yeah. It was, he was always the Nature Boy Ric Flair, which he inherited the name from, but what, who, Nature Boy?
Oh,
I don't know, somebody who was born in the damn 20s. The whole point is that he went out to trademark this particular name, which I didn't know that he could do.
Yeah, that's what surprised me.
But it could be trademarked all he wants.
Buddy Rogers. He got it from Buddy Rogers.
But he could trademark something all he wants. It's up to him if he wants to take legal action against somebody for using it. So from what I understand is that even though it is Becky Lynch's current sort of sub gimmick, if you will, he's going on record saying whatever, use it.
Here's what he has openly stated his goal is, because a lot of people thought because of Becky Lynch's and Charlotte's, you know, on-screen feud, that this was part of that.
Yeah,
it is not, and in fact, it started to actually put a wedge between him and Charlotte. Like, Charlotte's not talking to Rick right now because she's pissed at him for doing this.
Yeah,
but what Ric Flair has said is like, listen, man, like he had a really bad health scare not that long ago.
That's true.
He thought he was gonna die, and he's like, I want my wife and my kids taken care of. So what he did, Granted, he has some claim to the name, though.
He does.
That's the thing.
He wrestled with that for a long time.
Exactly. So he trademarked the man so that he could basically get money out of Vince and WWE.
I mean, first of all,
he does not care that Becky Lynch is using it. He's not trying to stop Becky Lynch from using it. He just wants Vince to pay up.
I'll say this. First of all, anybody getting money out of Vince is cool with me. Second of all, I still feel like, you know, I get the concept of wanting to have something set up for your folks and your kids, but this Ric Flair we talking about, didn't this man have a limousine a mile long full of women
that was
waiting to hear him go woo because he's the Nature Boy?
That was definitely a big part of the gimmick. I don't know how much of that was actually
Nate,
his.
When you saw him out at
Alamo City Comic-Con.
He was handing hundreds out.
No,
to like
it was
people
it was 20s. All right, it was 20s.
Well, still,
okay, bro.
Still.
Do you got $20 bills to be handing to random motherfuckers?
I do not. I am not Ric Flair, though.
Well,
so.
It might be worth pointing out that having a limousine a mile long full of women, plus your own private jet, plus handing out 20s at every convention you go to, might be the reason he now needs money. That is not the most fiscally responsible human being on the planet.
You know what?
That's a remarkable good point.
Here we go. What is the funniest gimmick that, if it was real, would be completely absurd just in
the
real life?
$1 Million Man.
Ted DiBiase.
Well, yeah, the whole thing was a goddamn sham. He didn't have any money.
Well, neither did JBL. The Texas billionaire from New York. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure both those dudes were staying in condos the entire time they were doing that gimmick.
So yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Who is someone in real life who pretends to be super rich but is definitely poor?
Okay, so that gimmick does not work.
You mean the president?
Come on, there's something in there, Joe.
First
find it.
Kill.
There you go.
There it is.
I got you.
Excuse me.
That's pretty good.
Excuse me. Sorry.
So
you just teed me up way too. You teed me up like a golf ball at Mar-a-Lago. Sorry.
So
had to take it.
I just
had
need to
take
sure
my swing.
I just had to make
continues.
Sure that I got this right, though. Okay, because Becky Lynch and the whole the man thing's been going on for a minute now.
For a while,
right?
Yeah. It's been the better part of a year.
Okay, so
way better than the Irish last kicker.
Holy shit!
So,
yeah. So
basically, Ric Flair has been sitting around. At some point, he had the epiphany that, oh man, I need to make sure that my family's set. And then he realized, I kind of went by the man for a while. I'm gonna trademark that and then sue them for what they currently have going on,
or at least make Vince pay me for using
or
it.
Pay me to get it back
now,
or to
the
use
other
it.
The other
that
the
sounds
way,
that sounds accurate.
The way this could backfire is if Vince calls his bluff and instructs Becky to stop going by that and gives her a new gimmick.
Yeah.
But it's going really well, isn't it?
By the way, that would be the worst idea.
I agree.
It would. It'd be that, the most
they
terrible
finally
idea.
Got Becky Lynch over that, and got her to work.
Yeah, that could tank Becky Lynch.
Yeah, like, which he is
entirely.
Not going to do.
No, he Becky is not red hot right
she's
now.
Super hot.
She's super hot.
And
her,
especially
her and Seth
she's
Rollins.
She's a good wrestler, too.
Like, her, yeah. Oh, she's great. She's
no,
great.
She's great. But it, I mean, her storyline right now is dope because now you got the whole heel Bayley and Sasha Banks thing happening.
I am not
everything.
Even up on that. Like, so Bayley went heel?
Well, Bayley just went back kicking it with Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
And Sasha Banks is heelish.
Heel-esque.
Right now.
Esque.
Yeah, heel-esque. You know. It's,
she's your anti-villain.
Yeah.
Or anti-hero, sorry.
Attitude era rock-ish.
Eh.
A heel, but not really.
Mm.
Got it.
Too kind of too a little too cool to be a heel.
Mm.
So,
I don't know.
I think I can appreciate.
I said ish.
I mean. I understand what the gimmick is. I just don't know that she pulls it off.
So, I don't think so either. But I think that's the trajectory that they're trying to.
So
go.
While I appreciate that this is happening, and I appreciate anyone again, like you say, who tries to take money away from Vince. The problem is this further kind of justifies the WWE's usual practice of you can't have any gimmick that we don't own.
No, it does. It completely justifies.
And that gets really creatively limiting.
It
oh
does.
Yeah. Well, it's not like let's. First of all, WWE is the most creatively limiting company on the planet.
For like, sure.
You went from a company that would send dudes like Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan out in front of tens of thousands of people without a script, and you went to scripting literally everything. So now it sounds like every wrestler is talking exactly the same way,
yeah.
Which is horrible.
Yep.
Yeah. You wouldn't have had somebody like Ultimate Warrior in
no,
this era.
No.
It's like as good as like NXT wrestling was, you could literally see the WWE, like the prototype WWE superstar all the way down the line.
Yeah.
And they all
oh, yeah.
sounded the
no,
same.
No, the product on the mic is awful.
They all had idea. Two first names.
Yep.
Without fail. Or you were Michael McGillicuddy.
I'd go with the two
worse.
First names. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
You, I'd rather be Jeff Ryan.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan was an actual.
Daniel Bryan. Oh,
you're right.
Seth Rollins.
NXT star.
By the way, we've got the
lawnmowers.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Hello, Mr.
That's
Lawnmower.
Always fun.
That's
good times.
That's always fun.
Yeah. No, but you're totally right. Because and the product on the mic is trash. It is creatively limiting, but
it's creatively bankrupt. I mean, I think like the
see,
goddamn
that,
writers just
that's
have
probably
nothing
better
anymore.
Because doesn't restriction breed creativity?
No. Not in this.
Not
case.
All the time. Yeah. Sometimes.
But, giving certain limitations for sure does.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Work within these confines. Great. But when the confines are a little cube about this size, then
when your confine is a script and your job is to wrestle, not be an actor, like, of course this is going to fall flat.
Well, and the thing is that Stone Cold was on an episode of Hot Ones fairly recently.
Oh, great episode.
Great episode. And he's eating wings. First of all, he didn't flinch at all eating any of those wings.
Didn't even break
way.
A sweat.
Yeah, no,
so,
he tanked through those.
So they're sitting there talking about the origins of the name Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's just talking about, he's like, you know, there's, you know, I said something about walking around with ice water in the veins or cold or something
well,
like that.
Well, because he had talked about Iceman, the serial killer.
Yeah, he was like talking about something about the Iceman, the serial killer. And he said, I took it back to Vince and the creative team at WWE. And he said, and they kept giving me all these bullshit temperature-based gimmicks.
They wanted him to be like Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, no. He's like, they kept would come back with like Mr. Freeze or something like that.
Or like the Fahrenheit Man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it was just stupid. He was in, and he was just like, was it like that? He was like, it was like that all the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's any wonder that there was ever able to be a good gimmick in the WWE at any given time.
Think about like all the superstars like that we ended up loving who launched with horrendous gimmicks.
The Rock is one of them.
The Rock. Rocky Maivia.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Die Rocky Die.
Oh yep. My God.
The Rock is like top of my list of like his first gimmick is butt
the Connecticut
cheeks.
Blue Blood, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Okay.
Actually
no,
that was actually
that's a great gimmick.
It's
you will
so
not
Hunter
you
Hearst,
no. You will not slander Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Here's the thing, Hunter
the
Hearst,
promos he used to cut.
Yes,
I'm not saying that
Hunter
he
Hearst
didn't
Helmsley
make it work,
was the best gimmick that Triple H
ever had.
Worked.
It's true.
Ever, you're gonna look me in the face and you're gonna tell me that the game was better?
It's not better.
It's not.
It's nowhere
I'll
close.
I'll say this: Hunter Hearst Helmsley was a workable gimmick in the early 90s, it could never, like, when he was the game, he couldn't have been that. What he used to be would never have worked when he was the game.
No, it worked perfectly for the time it existed in. Duh.
Right, yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, the game has spanned 20 years and has worked the entire way.
No, that's because it's not a real gimmick. It's Triple H. It's just him.
Yeah, that is the thing, is that Hunter Hearst Helmsley is basically a jobber.
Yeah.
Like, that's a jobber gimmick.
Yeah.
Everyone hates him. No one wants to see him succeed. No one wants to see him win.
You can't put the belt
ever.
On him.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So the gimmick had to change. That's why he had to do the DX thing.
Yeah, it was the DX thing that sort of brought it out.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a lot of stupid gimmicks. Like, Kung Fu Naki was one of my favorite gimmicks of all time.
Yes, it's a great gimmick.
But you can't put the belt on that ever. It's just how it is.
I can't believe out of the mouth of Joseph Sloan.
No, see, that's
I heard that Hunter Hearst Helmsley was a bad gimmick. You are objectively wrong.
Oh, what's that terrible one that John Cena did recently when he apparently went heel or whatever? The doctor
of Thugonomics? That was his original
that was his
gimmick.
Original.
That was
actually
his first gimmick.
He first started as like a jobber, as a jabroni.
That's
no name
so
jabroni.
Bad.
And then the doctor of Thugonomics.
That's so bad.
Was his first, you know, John Cena gimmick.
I don't watch a whole lot of wrestling, right? Or even like clips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that might have been the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Stone Cold debuted as the Ringmaster, a circus gimmick.
Yep, sure did.
Kane debuted as Dr. Isaac Yankum. Mick Foley's dentist.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Those are all things that happened.
Oh, it's all bad.
Wait, he was Mick Foley's dentist?
Yes, Dr. Isaac Yankum was Mick Foley's dentist. Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of jokes were made that he doesn't have any teeth.
That was the point.
I could have sworn that Isaac Yankum preceded Mankind as like a character.
I thought
he was first,
Doctor.
Well, but
Isaac
then I don't know.
Yankum.
When was Cactus Jack a gimmick before Mankind? Because I think it was.
Say that again.
Cactus Jack.
Yes, but in WCW.
You're right.
All right, so
Cactus Jack and Dude Love were WCW gimmicks that he also took with him to ECW.
Yes, sure.
But when he went to WWF, it was strict Mankind until he became known as Mick Foley, and then he
could use them all.
Yeah, then he could use them all, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, so I got to figure out what year Mankind was.
Duke the Dumpster Drossy says Zod TV. Mm-hmm. There's another great horrible gimmick.
But it's just like the best gimmicks were gimmicks that is this a gimmick? Right? Ultimate Warrior. Is that a gimmick? I don't know. Probably not. Is it? You can't definitively say if it is or not.
Given the arc of that dude's life, like I don't think he thought it was a gimmick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't Mankind's dentist. It was Jerry Lawler's private
Thank
dentist.
You. That's
the king.
That's
Jerry Lawler. That sounds more.
That's
sounds
correct.
More.
I found a list of the 40 worst wrestling gimmicks of all time.
Give me the top 10.
Ooh. Top 10. All right.
Hold on. We should guess some of these, right? Like,
yeah,
that's how
okay,
we do things.
Let's guess. Right. We already said Isaac Yankum, the dentist.
There's 40 of them, man. Yeah. I'm gonna, like,
whatever.
Scroll
let's
through,
try to guess the top
10.
Top
10.
When
you've got the
top
10.
Top 10 you can do.
So, the Shockmaster,
number one.
Yeah. The Gobbledygooker.
Number two.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Doink.
Doink the Clown.
Doink was actually a great gimmick the way that they
portrayed
ended
by
up
many
having
different people.
He's not in the top 10.
I just hate clowns.
No. But that was they made him a legitimately good character.
No, he was a legitimately good character.
It was probably because the wrestler was really good, legitimately good too.
Actually, I mean, some of these Jericho played Doink for a while.
Some of these on the top 10, like, not knowing the history but just looking at them, don't seem like bad concepts.
Okay. Let's see.
Something that doesn't
the
seem
The
like-
Yeti.
The Yeti is in there. Yep.
That's
he
a
is
good
number
one.
Seven.
Yeah. Mantar?
By the way.
Number 10.
Yeah.
I was in
the fucking crowd for the debut of the goddamn Yeti.
Oh my god.
Saw that with my own eyeballs.
I'll give you a hint on one. Marvel, if they didn't, should have sued.
Spider-Man? Man Spider.
Arachnaman.
Arachnaman.
Jesus. Let's see.
How about IRS? Zod TV says
Scheister on there?
Erwin R. Scheister.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Mr. Blinks, get the fuck out of here talking about Sergeant Slaughter. You can't, do you, is he really saying, Mr. Blink saying, really saying Sergeant Slaughter is a bad gimmick? Sergeant Slaughter's awesome.
Duke the Dumpster, whatever.
The Big Boss Man.
Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Yeah.
Not in top 10.
Okay. Okay. The Big Boss Man.
Not in top 10.
Mm. Okay.
Vader?
Nope.
Okay.
Vader was great.
Vader was great. What are you
especially
about?
Especially when he had the thing pads.
Yeah.
Oh.
With the whole face.
Oh no, Mr. Blink's is saying he loves Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Let's read the top 10.
All right. So we have at number 8 Max Moon.
Yeah. He was basically a Mega Man ripoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Max Moon.
Number
yeah.
6.
Actually, you know who came up with Max Moon?
Who?
Oh no, I'm gonna forget.
I mean, I might actually say here in the thing here.
Does it say? I think it was Conan. I think it was Conan that came up with Max Moon.
Before making a name for himself in WCW and TNA as Conan, Carlos Moses.
Yep. Wow. Yep.
It was Conan that came up with it, and he did it after he watched anime, like a giant robot anime, and he's like, how can I bring that to the ring?
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Number 6, crazy. Oz.
I do not know
before
Oz.
Kevin Nash, before Diesel, even before Vinny Vegas, there was Oz.
Oh, my God.
Kevin managed by Merlin the Wizard.
Jesus, that's right. Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, Detroit native Kevin Nash.
And before he was Shredder as well.
Yep.
Super Shredder.
Super Shredder.
Number
Shredder.
5, Battle Cat.
I do not know Battle Cat.
In 1990, Dean Peters donned a cat mask and debuted as Battle Cat.
Okay, swing the screen around. I want to see Battle Cat. I'm trying to see if I can remember Battle
Cat. Scroll up a little
bit. Scroll up. It's just his crotch.
Okay, there we go. Apparently, it lasted a little over a month.
Oh, my God. What was that? Was he in WWF or WCW? Does it say? I don't know.
Disco Inferno.
Oh, Disco Inferno is a good
Disco
one.
Disco Inferno.
Not in the top 10.
Oh, dang.
The only one, you guys got two more left to go, Mr. America.
Really?
I don't remember Mr. America.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, that's Hulk Hogan in a mask. Posing
Hogan. You're right. When he was doing the red, white, and blue mask, I forgot about that.
And then finally, number 3, the Kiss Demon.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, yeah.
The Kiss Demon?
That's Gans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
if I can
right.
just list off a few more and, like, you know. The,
I'm
the,
sorry,
the
but Battle Cat is just the pose.
7, Friar Ferguson, Bastion Booker.
Oh, Bastion Booker. That's pretty awful.
Isaac Yankum.
Yep. Isaac Yankum. Yeah. There he is.
Santa Claus with an X. Yes.
Oh, my God.
The Fat Chick Thrilla, that 70s guy.
The Fat Chick Thrilla.
Wow.
Eugene.
Oh, Eugene.
Oh, Eugene. Yeah. For sure.
That was offensive.
That was just tasteless.
That was bad offensive. Taste even in the 90s.
Yeah, it was.
That was just the Boogeyman.
How is Beaver Cleavage not on this
one? I mean, he might be.
Oh, he definitely should
Glacier,
be.
Glacier, Zeus, Misfits in Action.
Oh, Zeus. Yeah, Zeus.
All right. Well, listen, we got to take a break. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about some AEW scandals and also the match that I just watched last night. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. So last night, I actually watched a match that I thought was phenomenal. And I don't actually watch Japanese wrestling all that often, but I heard about a match where The Undertaker brought back from the dead Jinsei Shinsaki, or Shinzaki. Rather. Uh-huh. Do you remember this guy? He was the guy who looked like Raiden. He had the big hat. He had the tattoos all over him.
Yeah.
So apparently
he had died after a match with the great Muda. And I had to look this match up. And it was a, listen, if you've seen hardcore wrestling, it's not going to be anything that's like terribly shocking or anything like that. But as like in terms of just like an enjoyable wrestling match from the '90s, it was really good.
So wait, the Undertaker's involved.
The Undertaker. So after Jinsei Shinzaki dies, a couple of months later, Undertaker goes to Japan, and that was they did a Battle of the Undead where he resurrected him.
Okay, so this is not WWE, or it is WWE?
No, it's that weird, you know how like when WWE would license out their wrestlers to like New Japan and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
It was
sort of
like in that era.
Got it. Okay.
Right? So the Undertaker went over to Japan to do this match, but I had to look up the Great Muda match. Mm-hmm. And it was, dude, I'm going to tell you, this was a really, really good match. But at one point, so you know how he's got, Shinzaki's got the belt that comes with his gear?
His outfit.
Yeah. He takes the belt and throws him over the ropes and hangs the dude.
Yikes.
Like, it was brutal. Shinzaki is like covered in blood by the end of it. Really, really good match.
Sounds like kind of peak 90s hardcore match.
It was. Yeah. That's exactly what it was, but it was done way better. And you got to see the rare Japanese table spot in it too.
That is rare. I'm legit interested in like, because Undertaker in the 90s, we're talking peak suspend your disbelief. They're like we're
undead
gonna have,
wizard.
He's going to be an undead wizard. That's a character that we have in wrestling.
Yeah,
and everyone was kind of just okay with it.
I will take an undead wizard over somebody's dentist any day.
Kind of, yeah, because like
that's what everyone else said.
It does feel like we had enough bad gimmicks with WWF. I guess it would have been at the time all right, yeah, I'll take an undead wizard. That could be kind of cool. Well, what if we put him on a motorcycle? All right, well, don't do that. That gimmick's not very
skeleton
good.
Skeleton motorcycle.
At least they waited.
Okay, there you go. There's a terrible gimmick that happened in the middle of somebody's career.
Yeah,
the Great American Badass.
Yeah. That is a.
At least they waited 15 years to do that.
Yeah, and I do like how they did that gimmick for like 2 years before they were like, you know what,
this is not
the undead wizard was better.
Yeah. And they were just at WrestleMania, let's hit the reset button on this one.
They're like, I know we've moved into the reality era and we don't do those hokey gimmicks anymore, but you get to be the exception.
Let's bring back at least one.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk about AEW because Chris Jericho losing the belt. Not losing it in a match.
Physically lost it.
Misplacing the belt.
Losing it, leaving it in his limo, and then it getting lost. So I just feel like Jericho had such an opportunity to do such a good work here, even if the story's true.
Yeah.
Even if the belt got lost, because you know they would have made another belt, right?
And the belt's insured.
Exactly, right? So, like, even if that was the story, like, what they should have done is after they got the belt back, they should have waited till the next pay-per-view and have somebody show up and taunt Jericho with the belt.
Yeah.
That would have been so much better.
And people would have been like, oh my God, where'd he get the belt from?
Exactly.
Because at least enough people would have, you know, done some homework and found out like, no, like he actually lost it.
And have the person taunting Jericho be in a mask. And over the course of like, you know, two or three pay-per-views, we find out that it's CM Punk.
Well, listen, you could reintroduce CM Punk with any gimmick or any method and that'd get over. But here's the story here. Chris Jericho's AEW championship was lost less than a day after he first won it. Unfortunately, he didn't know he could have just checked Craigslist to get it back instead of waiting for the police. Florida man Frank Price.
Florida,
I gotta tell you, that sounds like a 2019 wrestling gimmick to me. Florida man Frank Price. That does sound like a wrestling
gimmick. You know what? Joey Janela could pull off that gimmick
real easy.
Florida man Frank Price found Jericho's title belt in a bag in a turn lane on Highway 20 and then posted it on the Lost and Found on Craigslist Tallahassee. After finding the bag while with his wife on his 41st birthday, Price said he took it home before he discovered the title belt inside.
Wow.
That's insane.
Wow.
That's bananas.
That is...
That actually is so crazy, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't either, because there was also a point where the police had actually put up a picture on their Twitter or Instagram that they had found the belt, and then immediately, like, taken it down and said the investigation is still ongoing.
Yeah, see, I think it's a work.
I'm telling you, man, sounds like maybe it. Florida Man Frank Price is a gimmick that's getting ready to debut, because...
Listen.
I hope so.
If Joey Janela takes Florida Man Frank Price and works that gimmick to the end, I would be all for it.
I feel like of all the people I've seen in AEW, I feel like Jon Moxley is the most fitting. Like, when I look at Jon Moxley, I go,
he's the Florida
he's
man
from Florida. Be, I believe you're from Florida, if yeah. you told me.
I've seen him once, and because he was at the he was the final match in Fighter Fest, right? Was
yep.
that him?
Yeah. yeah.
Jon
Moxley
could totally be a Florida man. 100%.
With the wife beater and everything.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
That's what it should be. It should just be Dean Ambrose in a beater and, like, just some dad jeans.
Well, cargo shorts.
That's literally what he wrestles
in. That is Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
You just described Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have... Oh, I love it. The easiest gimmick change in history. He's yeah. just now Florida man.
And some Duluth Trading Company boots.
Or sandals.
By the way...
He has to wrestle in sandals now.
For the next AEW pay-per-view, is just announced, Chris Jericho is going to be defending his title against Cody Rhodes.
Man, so...
Please don't take another chair shot, Cody.
Do you realize that if Chris Jericho is still wrestling in 6 months...
Yeah.
It will be his fourth decade.
Wow.
Am I right? 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2020s.
Wow. Yeah.
He's about 50 now, 48, I feel like Chris Jericho
is. He's up there.
Dude.
Wow.
How old are you, Chris? That's crazy. I remember when Chris Jericho debuted on Raw with the worst hair in history. Chris Jericho,
49. I remember him on WCW.
So do I. When he could actually do the Lion Tamer for real till he and he got out before he got outlawed.
Yeah.
Oh, where you have to, like, put your knee on their
on
head,
somebody's head. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a rough look. Yeah. What was he in Mexico? Chris de Leon or something like that. Christopher de Leon.
Is that? Oh.
Yeah, something like that.
I didn't know
so
he wrestled
where the lion
in Mexico.
He did. He wrestled in Mexico. Then he wrestled in Germany. Then he wrestled in Japan. And then in WCW, I believe mm-hmm. it was.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm sorry, dude. The Y2J thing was great.
Oh, Y2J oh, was yeah. awesome.
That was great.
The list was great. Almost every gimmick that Chris Jericho has ever done, yeah. he's been able to get over.
Raw is Jericho. That was the best,
yeah.
man.
I Corazon de Leon was his...
Oh, Lionheart.
I don't know how he intends to get a little bit of the bubbly over as anything more than just the most heinous joke. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. And he keeps doing it. Every time he does it, I cringe.
Yeah, he's... I mean, how many of his gimmicks have started out... Like, think about, like, this is the man who got the phrase stupid idiot over.
Mm-hmm.
That was his insult for a while.
Stupid idiot.
He had, would you please shut the hell up? That was one of his gimmicks. He had ask him ref, or telling the ref to ask him if he yep. wants to give up when he was putting people on the walls.
Yes. ask him!
Just over and over again. That was something he did for 4 years.
He did do that.
He had, you just made the list.
Oh, yeah, the list.
The
yeah.
list of Jericho. No
the
one
scarf.
Knows what that means.
The scarf.
The scarf.
The scarf. His light-up jacket.
Yeah.
Jericho's had some great gimmicks. I'm sorry. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, short of...
He's one of the greatest.
I'm actually struggling to think of any gimmicks he's had that he wasn't able to get over eventually.
I can't think of any.
I mean, there's some that did not hit off the rip, for sure.
No, but
he built them.
But he's
they
sort of like... He's like... It's like a square peg round hole thing. He's like, it'll fucking fit eventually.
Yeah.
He's got... Because, like...
You know, his original gimmick when he joined WCW, I think it was just Lionheart Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Didn't...
Because he was a cruiserweight back then.
Yeah. It wasn't until he started doing weird things on the microphone that he actually got over.
Yeah.
And then he went to WWF.
Yeah. Because he was correct. Kind of a... He was good, but he was like... Well, a ho-hum
well, yeah.
cruiserweight.
But then he did his
WCW.
He did his list of 1,004
what about,
holds.
What
that
about
was famous.
Cool Dad Chris Jericho?
Is that just what he goes by now? Because that seems like what his gimmick would be now.
I have found the many faces of Chris Jericho ranked from worst to best. And number 10 is Cool Dad Chris Jericho.
I don't remember that one.
Does it have a description of that?
Swing it around.
What about the Code Breaker?
The Code Breaker? That was a famous one.
Okay, yeah. Apparently the last decade his return to WWE.
It's just Cool Dad Chris Jericho. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. But
Lionheart's on there.
The Code Breaker, Lionheart. Yep.
Undisputed champion of the world.
Oh,
that was a good one, though.
That was
such a good one.
Yeah, Stupid Idiot's on there.
Stupid idiot, man. Stupid Idiot.
The Ayatollah of Rock and Roll.
Ayatollah of WCW. Rock and Roll.
Late era WCW. Yep.
The World's Most Jealous Man.
I don't remember that one. The World's Most Jealous Man. That might have been when he was fighting, like, Dean Malenko.
It says after losing the Undisputed Champion, falling out of the title picture, he began teaming up with fellow Canadian Christian towards the end of 2002.
The second TLC match happened where Chris Jericho and Christian were in it.
Oh,
no,
God.
That was TLC 3.
TLC 3, yeah.
Then you have Y2J, conspiracy theory victim.
Oh, God. Conspiracy theory. That was the Dean Malenko one.
That I don't remember.
This is a gimmick that he did where he lost a match to Dean Malenko, but he thought he actually had she should have won by the rule book, and he thought there was this big conspiracy theory against him. And every week he just kept, like, at first he was like blaming like the other wrestlers, then he was blaming the management, until eventually there's a bit where he goes to the Library of Congress trying to figure out
if
the
federal
government screwed up his title shot.
I do remember that.
Oh my God, he really can make anything work.
Oh, yes. It was incredible.
And
that was
finally
an amazing bit.
Number one, the best in the world at what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. He's Wolverine.
He goes to the Library of Congress and he's trying to explain to just some guy there. He's like, no, you see, but my shoulders weren't down for the full three count. It's all a conspiracy. And they like throw him out, and that like fuels the conspiracy theory. It's an incredible bit.
Oh, wow.
He came up with the idea of being thrown out of the Library of Congress. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I love Chris Jericho, conspiracy victim.
Oh my God! Now, I'm gonna have to look that up because I didn't even know he did a program with Dean Malenko.
Yeah,
well, that's where the Man of 1001 Holds came. Dean Malenko was the Man of 1000 Holds.
Yeah, he has this bit where basically the story behind it is that he asked because he was having trouble getting his gimmick over, so he asked, "Hey, just let me go out and talk in the microphone for like 1 minute every night." So I can, work on getting the character over. And they're like, all right, fine. So he's like, they put him in this series where he'd do like a quick match and then he'd get on the microphone. As soon as it was over, he'd like chug down some water and get on the microphone. And he's doing this program with Dean Malenko. And he's like, Dean Malenko, you claim to be the Man of 1,000 holds, but I counted and you know about 60. But I know 1,004 holds and I wrote them all down. And he pulls out this humongous list. Like those
he sure does.
Pig,
he says, one armbar.
He goes, so he's like, arm
bar. Oh, my God.
Two, arm drag. Number three, the Saskatchewanator. Number four, arm bar. And he starts repeating it, and then it has to go to commercial. And this is what you don't see, because obviously they went to commercial. But in that moment, as soon as the cameras went off and he got the signal, he put it down and started ripping on the local sports team, getting all this cheap heat on him.
So when they came back, they'd still be booing
the crowd was like, boo!
And he just goes, hold number 743, armbar.
That is amazing.
I remember that distinctly.
That is so brilliant.
I need to look this up. I read all of Chris Jericho's books that he's put out. He's put out three books now, and I always read them when they come out because they're amazing. And he went into great detail about that bit in, I think, his first book.
Here it is.
Oh,
here it is.
God.
Jericho Goes to Washington.
I'm going to need you. Send me that clip.
Yeah, I'll put it.
Oh, my God.
It's great.
Yep. That is hilarious. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Checkpoint XP podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and much more. That's all over at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review like Doza did, who gave us an entire episode today. So if you want to hear us talk about something here on this show, maybe leave us a little Apple Podcast Tesla.
Suggest a topic.
Exactly.
Love that.
Exactly. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan, my name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to checkpointxp.com.